Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Welcome to Go Teach All Nations, bringing you Christ's teachings through Australian and international speakers. And here is today's presenter, Hank Fillion.
Now I will be reading from the NIV and the King James Version interchangeably to avoid some of the harsher expressions found in the King James. For those of you who will be following along in the King James, you'll understand why I want to save myself some blushes while I'm here. Generally, I'm biased towards the King James, but in this case, the NIV is convenient for me. So we're open there in the book of Hosea, chapter 1. We'll start reading in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea during the reign of Jeroboam, king of Israel." So from this verse, who is Hosea? Well, the Hebrew word Hosea can also be translated as deliverer or savior. Now, when was the time of the prophet of Hosea? We read, "In the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel." Now, there were two Jeroboams. This is Jeroboam the second, and he was a bad king. We read in 2 Kings 14, verse 23 and 24, that Jeroboam did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he made Israel to sin. So this is the time of Hosea. The nation of Israel is led into sin by their evil king Jeroboam. Now, verse 2, I'll have to read from the NIV. "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry.'" Oh, yes, that's a good instruction, isn't it? That sounds like a pleasant instruction. Marriage sounds good. But the Lord continues, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Excuse me? Go marry what? Now, this is very important because there's a few young people in the church today. It's very important that we understand this. Hosea's name is also translated as deliverer, savior. We can see that God has a particular plan in mind with telling Hosea, "Go and marry a promiscuous woman, for the land of Israel has been adulterous." So as a prophet, this message from God is specific to Hosea. This is not general instruction. I want to be very clear on this point, especially for the young people here who still have to select a life partner. Yes, Hosea had to go through this experience so you can learn from it. I'm not encouraging anyone to pursue promiscuity in their spouse. Now, this instruction was unique to Hosea because the purpose is clear. Israel had committed spiritual adultery, and therefore Hosea now has to go and marry this adulterous woman. And verse 3 tells us that he married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. So enter Gomer. Now, who was Gomer? Hosea's name means deliverer or savior. Gomer's name means completion. Now, we will soon see that sadly Gomer was incomplete. She was seeking completion. And there was constantly something missing in her life. And she sought to fill that void with intimate experience. She sought completion. She pursued it, but it evaded her because she was pursuing it in all the wrong places. This is Gomer. Her father is named, and his name, Diblaim, means two cakes. It's always a bit of a letdown. You know, Hosea, savior, deliverer, Gomer, completion. These are such profound concepts. And then Diblaim, two cakes. Sounds like a buy one, get one free. Why would his name be two cakes? Well, Hosea chapter 3 verse 1 tells us that the Lord loves the Israelites though they turn to other gods and they love the sacred raisin cakes. There's your answer. Diblaim's name suggests that there was a practice of idolatry in his house. These two cakes. But Gomer is a woman seeking spiritual completion, for she has been fathered by idolatry, and thereby she had become ensnared in adultery. And this state has led to her feeling incomplete and searching for acceptance through intimacy, but searching for it in the wrong places and finding herself trapped in cycles of adultery. And into her life walks this man of God, Hosea, and he wants to marry her. He wants her for more than a fleeting experience. He wants a loving relationship. He seeks her out for lasting commitment. Could Hosea provide the completion that Gomer has been longing for? And the same goes for the Lord and Israel. The Lord sought out Israel. He married this nation and he loved them and they were his bride and he their bridegroom. And they entered into a covenant. And for Hosea and Gomer, for a time things are going well. We read in Hosea chapter 1 verse 3 that Gomer conceived and bare him a son. What joy! What joy! Hosea, we read in verse 4, then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel. Jezreel. Jezreel, this name means the Lord will scatter. Hosea's son was a message. His name was a message that the Lord was warning Israel that the Lord will scatter Israel. He will scatter them as a result of their sin. We continue in verse 6, and Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. I don't know if you noticed it. Verse 3 said she bare him a son. Verse 6 says she gave birth to a daughter. What does that mean? What does that mean? We do not read that she bare him a daughter. There is doubt. There is controversy. There is a question over this child. And Hosea is hurting. And the Lord said to Hosea, call this child, call her Lo Ruhama, which means not loved. And this family is starting to spiral. They are suffering distress. And there is doubt and distrust and disappointment and discord and pain. And who suffers? Who suffers when mother or father, when they violate the sanctity of marriage? Who suffers? The children. And that is why we need to pray for godly families that will hold fast to the family values in the Bible. Satan is attacking the family. Modern society and the media strive to erode the biblical model, to sell a counterfeit which will deliver broken homes and broken people. And we have to pray for our church families. And we have to live the biblical example. But we're back to Lo Ruhama. This beautiful baby girl, she herself innocent, yet conceived through sin, her very name reminds her that she is not loved. Because her mother betrayed her father's love, and he in pain branded her as one that he does not love. And so too the Lord feels the same pain. He says in verse 6, I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. And in verse 8, we read, after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Again, we do not read that Gomer bore this son for Hosea. This family is in utter turmoil. Verse 9, the Lord said, call him Lo-Ammi. What does Lo-Ammi mean? Not my people. Church, imagine. Imagine what pain must reign in a household where a father receives a newborn child and he says, not mine. Not mine. Hosea has had enough. He cannot tolerate this anymore. The shame and disappointment is too great to bear, and he exclaims, not mine. And so too the Lord says to Israel, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Israel is so caught up in spiritual idolatry that the Lord denounces them, not my people. Now, church, what happens? What happens when a house is as broken as this? What happens? Hosea the deliverer. Hosea the Savior. Hosea, he shows his love for this wayward wife, this woman he loves, this woman who has betrayed him so many times, who has disappointed him, disrespected him, and humiliated him with her wanton conduct. Hosea, he takes the children to their mother, hoping that the pleading of the children can convince her to return. Now, think for a minute, what kind of a woman is this? I mean, 2/3 of these kids aren't even Hosea's. She abandons her own children. They're definitely all her children. Yet Hosea is the one who now has to take care of them. And Hosea takes the children to see their mother to plead with her. How devastating must this not be for these children to be caught in such terrible circumstances? And may we as a church and as individual families not put our children through such chaos. May we recognize the impact of these sins and flee from them. But the Lord is speaking now. And the Lord is speaking to Israel. The Lord is speaking to Israel, who by now is Jezreel. They've been scattered. They've been scattered like Hosea's household. The Lord speaks to them. We're in Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Verse 5. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink. Verse 8, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Both God and Hosea were supporting these unfaithful spouses, and for the support they provided out of love, for the nourishment, for the care, Gomer and Israel, these spouses, they gave the credit to their exploitive lovers who used them. And these women, they were to be found in desperate, compromised, and shameful circumstance. Yet, they would not relent, repent, and return to their loving, caring spouses. Rather, they went back to those lovers. And God and Hosea had to apply tough love. Their love had been taken for granted. The goodness of their hearts, which would not allow for these women they so cherished to suffer, they realized that this goodness had to be withdrawn. We read in verse 9 to 13 that they took away the food, they took away the drink, the clothing, the partying, the corrupting gifts from those lovers. There was punishment for the days of adultery. And once in this desperate situation, no food, no clothing, and suddenly no interest from those lovers, the realization dawned upon these women, I have not found completion. I am spent, drained, alone, empty, and when Israel and Gomer are discarded and rejected, they realize there is no hope left. Or is there? For there is Hosea, the deliverer. And the Lord and Hosea, they plan a beautiful reconciliation with their unfaithful and undeserving wives, the woman that they love, these women who have hurt them so deeply. But they love them more. These two women are lured to the quiet of the country, away from the city and its temptations. We read in verse 14 and 15, therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. Rekindling that early love. Tender words. Now is the time for reconciliation. No more threats and punishment. Only tender love. And it is this love that brings healing. It is this love that redeems. It is this love that revives. It is this love that reforms. It is this love that restores. It is this love that does not relent. It is this love that will not let her go. It is a conquering love that wins her back, that forgives despite the pain she has caused. This forgiveness overwhelms the selfish heart, and she responds to the love, realizing that it offers what she has been seeking. It offers completion. It is a day of victorious love. Oh, let's rejoice. Verse 16 and 17. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. Verse 19 to 20. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge your Lord. And when this husband and wife are reconciled, we see that the deliverer, Hosea, he has freed his wife from the slavery of her sinful, destructive pursuits. He marries her again. They are betrothed. There is healing. There is completion. Now, when husband and wife are reconciled, then the family is also restored. The curses are reversed and they become blessings. Verse 23, remember Jezreel, scatter. But verse 23 says, I will sow her unto me. It reverses the curse. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. Lo ruhama, not loved, is reverse. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. Lo am I, is reverse. And they will say, you are my God. Now this family, which has suffered so much, is now reunited and restored. Restored by the love of the husband, Hosea, the deliverer, who symbolizes the Lord who loves Israel. And Hosea has completed Gomer. He has given her a family where the children are not scattered but gathered, where the children are loved, not unloved, where they belong to one family instead of being rejected and resented. Here is restoration. Here is completion. Here we see also the Lord and Israel. As Elson read for us, the Apostle Paul in Romans emphasizes, sorry, this is not what Elson read, but the Apostle Paul in Romans emphasizes for us this conclusion, Romans 9 verse 25 and 26. As in the book of Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. This is completion. This is God's family. Yes, God's family is made up of broken people. People who have made terrible mistakes. But God can fix it. Out of a broken home like Hosea's, God can bring completion by His love that will not let you go. Now, I always wish I could end the sermon there, because it's a taxing sermon. But the book of Hosea continues to chapter 3, and regrettably I need to invite you to open your Bibles in Hosea chapter 3. And I hope you're ready for where we're going to go now, because after all we've been through with this family, after the miraculous restoration and reunification of this family, we find Gomer being sold as a slave. A slave. A slave? Why? She's just been redeemed and reconciled with her husband and children. Why is she a slave? Backsliding. Backsliding. 2 Peter 2 verse 22 tells us that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Gomer went back to her life of sin. And this time she sank deeper than ever before. Hopeless. Beyond redemption. That's it. This is the end. Or is it? Brothers and sisters, greater than this disappointment, greater than this despair, is that love that will not let her go. Hosea chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and they love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Hosea goes and buys her back. Hosea buys his own back. This is that love that will not let her go. Now, congregation, can we see the love of Jesus, our deliverer, in this story? I don't know if you appreciate how relevant this is for us here today. There is a message for us on three levels. The first level is our world, our planet. This creation was sold into sin by Adam. And Jesus came and bought it back. He gave his life as the atoning sacrifice to buy our world back again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. But it continues. It continues. The church is what we call the body of believers, the bride of Christ. This is God's people. And the church today is like Israel in the story of Hosea. Now, some of you may be tempted to think that it is a stretch to apply the story of Hosea to the church. But notice, the Apostle Peter does the exact same thing in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now listen, pay attention. Which in time past were not a people, that's lo am I, but now are the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, that's lo ruhamah, but now have obtained mercy. Even the Apostle Peter says Hosea's story is relevant to the church today. And the church also receives a message. The same way as Israel received a message through Gomer's children. What were the names of those three children? Jezreel, God scatters, lo ruhamah, no mercy or not loved, and lo am I, not my people. So too the church received three messages in Revelation 14. Don McIntosh showed me this in a Sabbath school lesson. Jezreel, God scatters, Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The message is being scattered. Lo ruhamah, no mercy. Revelation 14:8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There will be no mercy for Babylon. Lo am I. Verses 9 and 10. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The people who receive the mark of the beast are not God's people. The church is symbolized by the wife of Hosea. And the church receives these three messages. And then the story resonates with us as individuals. Are we perhaps like Gomer, seeking completion with other lovers and loves that we love more than our deliverer, Jesus Christ? Are we committing spiritual idolatry? Are we succumbing to the sin and temptations and betraying our vows? Are we being spitefully used by the world and willfully submitting ourselves to this abuse? Now, I didn't write it, someone else wrote it, but it's a good saying to remember. I've heard it said of sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Are we perhaps today ashamed of our sinful behavior, which disgraces the image of God? Do we feel like no one wants us? Do we feel like we are slaves and so worn out and useless that we can't even be sold at the market? Do we feel like Gomer, empty and incomplete and searching for completion in all the wrong places? Have you perhaps underpriced the cost of the cross? Underappreciated the high calling of our Lord? Failed to treasure that relationship, that covenant relationship? Failed your Lord and God? Then Gomer is your answer. Gomer is your answer. Colossians 2:10 says that we are complete in Him. Our God loves us with a love that will not let us go. He loves us to redeem us, to revive us, to restore us, to reunite us, to recreate us, to reform us, to complete us. His love will not let you go. Now, dear members, I plead with you today. God will take you to the wilderness if He has to. He will take away the blessings which may have become curses. He will do what it takes because He loves you. But why do you want to invite this? Turn now, turn from your crooked ways, and turn today. For the saddest words in the Bible, the saddest words in the Bible are also found in the book of Hosea. It is in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. There is a point where God has to respect your choice. And if you choose to seek fulfillment in shallow, empty, and destructive pursuits, if you fully commit to this and you shut God out, and you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then God will love you enough to reluctantly respect your decision. This message of love is perfectly balanced by the fact that God's love is true love, the love that allows for loving back. And as long as there is hope of redemption, He will love you to redeem you. But His perfect love respects your choice. And I beg you, do not postpone, do not presume, do not put off embracing your loving Savior today. Commit and recommit to your Lord God and Savior, your Deliverer. The message of Hosea and Gomer vividly portrays the truth of our scripture reading today. Romans 8:38. Verse 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us. No past, no present, no person can separate us from the love of our Savior. Only you can by your choice. Therefore, I wish to invite all who have once again realized how much their Deliverer loves them, and He will not let you go. Please stand. Please stand. I invite those who find themselves today as slave to drugs, pornography, greed, hate, whatever has enslaved you, please stand. Jesus said in Matthew 21:31 that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God. And the Lord receives them despite their past, but He does not leave them so. He will complete His bride, and He wants you to be a part of that work. Your deliverer invites all. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And some may be tempted to think that he would not be interested, but I want to assure you, he will spend his last shekels of silver to save you. He gave his life to save you. And please stand as you invite him to set you free by his love that will not let you go. Dear Lord Jesus, your children here at Dora Creek, who may come from backgrounds where they were scattered, dear Lord, they're here gathered in your house today. Dear Lord, they may have felt that they deserve no mercy and no love, but they are here today to be reassured of your love. Dear Lord, they may have at times felt that they are not your people, but you've invited them to be your people.
Amen.
This message was made available by the Dora Creek Seventh-day Adventist Church. For more resources like this, visit doracreek.church.
It's been a pleasure bringing you this program here on 3ABN Australia Radio.